This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihi al-kareem amma ba'd. We continue our discussion on the life of Hud alayhi salatu wa salam and his nation known as the Aad, the Qawm Aad. Yesterday we were going through the verses of the 12 Jews of the Quran al-Kareem, where Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala talks about how Hud alayhi salatu wa salam called his people towards belief and worship in one Allah. Ya qawmi abudullaha ma lakum min ilahin ghayru. How the Nabi used tact, he used wisdom, he used what we would say a soft approach. He explained to his people logically and reasonably that I have no agenda. La as'alukum alayhi ajra. I don't want any wealth. I don't want any remuneration. I only want the pleasure of Allah because this is my duty. Allah has sent me to convey the message to you. Then he also put the message to them, another lesson we learn in terms of how to convince people, how to make da'wah. He put it in a positive way that, listen, you're a very strong nation. So if you turn to Allah, if you repent, if you come back to the belief in the one Allah, وَيَزِدُكُمْ قُوَّةً, Allah will increase you in your strength. And the initial punishment was a 3-year drought, as we explained yesterday. And Hud alayhi salam told his people that if you come back to Allah, Allah will alleviate the drought as well. But the big problem once again was pride and arrogance because of their physical strength. فَأَمَّا عَادٌ فَاسْتَكْبَرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ وَقَالُوا مَنْ أَشَدُّ مِنَّا قُوَّةً. As we discussed yesterday, they started saying, who's stronger than us? Who can be stronger than us? Who can come before us? Who can take us on? No one. And Allah so beautifully explains that أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا أَنَّ اللَّهَ الَّذِي خَلَقَهُمْ هُوَ أَشَدُّ مِنْهُمْ قُوَّةً. Didn't they realize that that Allah who created them, who gave them that strength, that Allah is more powerful than them. Now the manifestation of that transpired, meaning Allah showed his power. And a great lesson that we learn from the stories of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam is they say Allah hits with a silent whip. You don't know where the punishment of Allah will come from. And you don't know what will turn into the army of Allah. In the 29th Juz, Allah says, وَمَا يَعْلَمُ جُنُودَ رَبِّكَ إِلَّا هُ. None knows the army of Allah besides Allah. If you're taking on a particular person, you know what is his armor. You know what is his ammunition. Okay, he's got this, he's got that. I know how to deal with it. If you're taking on a particular nation, they've got a nuclear bomb, they've got an atom bomb. You know what you're dealing with. But because Allah is all-powerful and because Allah has control over anything, everything, anything and everything can turn into the weapon of Allah in terms of punishment. So we see this repeatedly in the time of Nuh alayhi salam. Allah used the water that came from nowhere. It literally came from nowhere. Like we explained a few days ago, they were saying, the nation of Nuh was saying to Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, hey, what's up? You're building a ship, where's the water? You're building the ship, where's the water? They were mocking at him and scoffing at him. Then he said, إِن تَسْخَرُوا مِنَّا فَإِنَّا نَسْخَرُوا مِنْكُمْ. You laugh today, tomorrow we'll laugh, and he who laughs last, laughs the best. So, the same thing happened with the nation of Aad. Hud alayhi salam warned them, he warned them, he warned them repeatedly. And they refused to listen. So Allah says, this is what transpired. Remember, they were suffering 3 years of drought. 3 years of drought. فَلَمَّا رَأَوْهُ عَارِضًا مُسْتَقْبِلَ أَوْدِيَتِهِمْ 26 Juz. Suddenly, they saw on the horizons clouds appearing. And they got happy. They thought the rains are on their way. A great lesson for us to learn in life, brothers. Sometimes the punishment of Allah can come wrapped as a gift and as a blessing. You may think something positive is about to happen in your life, but that's only the wrapping. What's inside is actually punishment. And the opposite can occur. وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. Sometimes you look at something on the apparent and you say, what the hell happened here? How did this happen to me? Where did this come from? What a big setback in my life. But then a few years down the line, you look back and you say, that was the best thing that could ever happen to me. Sometimes you lose a business. Sometimes a marriage doesn't work out. Big setbacks in life. And at that moment you think, ya Allah, what's happening to me? What a catastrophe. But only down the line you realize it was actually a blessing in disguise. You know, as they say in English. But the opposite also happens. Sometimes you look at something and you think it's positive. وَعَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ شَرٌّ لَكُمْ. Sometimes you like something, it looks appealing, it looks positive, but in reality it's catastrophic. So they saw those clouds coming and they said, yes, the rain is here. And they started mocking at Hud alayhi salam. They said, you said the rains will never come because Allah is angry. Here is the rain. But look at the words of Allah. Allah says, Rihun fiha adabun alim. It was a wind that carried a painful punishment. It was not a wind that was whooping up the clouds to dispense the rain. It was a wind that was bringing a painful punishment. What kind of a punishment? تُدَمِّرُ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ بِأَمْرِ رَبِّهَا. Nothing could be seen. After that punishment had hit them, Allah had destroyed the nation of Aad with a severe wind. A very severe wind. Right? And after that wind had obliterated them, when you looked at where they used to stay, you couldn't see no trace of them. Just the dwellings. Nothing. No sign of human life whatsoever. And Allah talks about this in various places in the Quran, the punishment that descended on the people of Aad. وَفِي عَادٍ إِذْ أَرْسَلْنَا عَلَيْهِمُ الرِّيحَ الْأَقِيمِ. Allah says, we sent to them a blistering wind. جَعَلَتْهُ كَالرَّمِيمِ. That wind was so severe, it reduced them to ashes. One is, you know, you kill a person, but his physical form is still existent. One is you totally obliterate that person from existence. You make him like he never existed. Reduce him to ashes. رِيحًا صَرْصَرًا فِي يَوْمِ نَحْسٍ مُسْتَمِرٍ. A raging wind on a day of continuous ill luck. Bad luck. You know, they used to tell Hud alayhi salam, that, hey, you're bringing bad luck. So Allah said, the bad luck came that day when those winds struck. Those raging winds. تَنْزِعُ النَّاسِ كَأَنَّهُمْ أَعْجَازُ نَخْلٍ مُنْكَعِرٍ. Verses that we are going to be reciting in the coming days, 27th Juz. Allah says that wind plucked the people. It plucked the people as if they were tree trunks that are being uprooted. That's how forceful the wind was. Rihan sarsaran atiya, raging violent wind. Sakharaha alayhim sab'a layalin wa thamaniyata ayyam. It was not a wind of a few minutes or a few hours. 7 nights and 8 days. 7 nights and 8 days. When the punishment of Allah comes, then it comes in a severe form. I mentioned this the other day as well. Allah gives respite, Allah gives respite, Allah gives respite. But many times we use that respite as a rope to hang ourselves. And eventually you don't know where the punishment will come from. We see many people who lead a haughty life, even Muslims, very pompous, very, very heavy-handed. And then all of a sudden from nowhere, even that person doesn't know what hit them. That's the punishment of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. That's the system of Allah. Now look at this nation, such a powerful nation. التي لم يخلق مثلها في البلاد. Verses of Surah Al-Fajr. That at that time, their physical strength was unparalleled. Nobody was created with that degree of strength. Allah is testifying to the strength that they were given. التي لم يخلق مثلها في البلاد. It totally obliterated them. It reduced them. One wind from Allah. One wind from Allah reduced this physically mighty, strong, muscular nation to ashes. That's why whenever the wind used to blow, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to seek Allah's protection. Because you don't know if the wind is bringing the mercy of Allah in the form of rain, or whether the rain is bringing the punishment of Allah. And when Aisha radiallahu anha used to say, Ya Rasulullah, why is it whenever there is a heavy wind, there is a severe wind, you seek protection in Allah? He says, because I remember what happened to the nation of Aad. I remember what happened to the people of Hud alayhi salatu wasalam. There is difference of opinion amongst the scholars. I mentioned this up front as to where they resided. The majority of the scholars say, in that area between Yemen and Iraq, Hadramaut, Ahqaf. But others say that, you know, the area was broader. It came into northern Saudi Arabia. If you go to northern Saudi Arabia, I've been there, and we'll talk more about this area. It's called Mada'in Salih. When we talk about the story of Salih alayhi salatu wasalam, you see the mountain rocks. They're in a very funny shape, a very peculiar shape, a very strange shape. The shape of the rocks on the mountains in Mada'in Salih, which is near Tabuk in Saudi Arabia, about 600-700 kilometers from Medina Munawwara. When you go to that area and you look at the mountains, you say, but this is a very funny shaped mountain. Very funny edges and all of that to the rocks. And some scholars have written that those funny shapes were as a result of that raging wind that hit the nation of Aad. The wind was so strong that it actually distorted the natural shape of the rocks on the mountains. So if it could have that impact on rock which is solid, Can you imagine what was the impact that it had on these people, the nation of Hud alayhi salatu wasalam? Then there's also again a bit of difference of opinion amongst the scholars as to whether Hud alayhi salam and those people who were believers, whether they continued to reside in that Hadramaut, Yemen area, or whether they left. Some say they resided there, and Hud alayhi salatu wasalam passed away there, and his grave is there. And others say no, that Hud alayhi salatu wasalam then made his way towards Makkatul Mukarrama, and he passed away in Makkatul Mukarrama, and he's buried there. That's why when you travel in the Middle East, that you'll see different graves at different places, and they'll tell you this Nabi is buried there and that Nabi is buried there. But we don't know for sure. These are all historical things. They could be correct, they could be incorrect. There's only two places that we can say with absolute certainty that a Nabi is buried here. One is in the Rawda in Madinatul Munawwara, that Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is buried there. And the other is in Masjid Khalilur Rahman in Hebron in Palestine, where we can say with certainty that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is buried there. But when it comes to the other Anbiya alayhi salam, when you go to Palestine, they'll tell you, here's the grave of Yunus alayhi salam. Then when you go to Iraq, they'll say, here's the grave of Yunus alayhi salam. And sometimes also what used to happen, they used to just put up a monument in memory of that Nabi. So they call it maqam. Maqam Nabiyuna Yusuf. Maqam Nabiyuna Yunus. So a maqam is not necessarily the grave site. So if ever you're traveling in that region, it would be something that would be of relevance and of interest to you. Some places the indications are strong that in all likelihood the Nabi is buried there. So if you go to Jordan, for example, they take you up the mountain and they show you the grave of Shu'aib alayhi salam. But it's we can't say with certainty, but there the likelihood is great because Shu'aib alayhi salam lived in that area. وَإِلَى مَدْيَنَ أَخَاهُمْ شُعَيْبًا. So he lived in that particular area. You go to Mount Nebo, and they say, on top of Mount Nebo is the grave of Musa alayhi salam. But then, just on the boundary of Jordan and Palestine, there's another grave, and they say, no, Musa alayhi salam is buried here. Again, you can't say with certainty, but the likelihood is there because we know that Musa alayhi salam was right on the edge of Baytul Maqdis, of Jerusalem, when Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala took his life, because it was not decreed for him to enter Al-Ardul Muqaddasa as a conqueror and as a victor. So Allah knows best where these Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam are buried. Besides Ibrahim alayhi salam, and when you go to Masjid Khalil al-Rahman, they'll say, here's the grave of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Then they got a grave for Ishaq alayhi salam, a grave for Yaqub alayhi salam, a grave for Yusuf alayhi salam. Yusuf alayhi salam, we know he passed away in Egypt. But there's one narration that his body was then transferred back to where he was born, and that is in what we call today Palestine. And in that masjid, they'll say there's a grave also for Sarah radiyallahu anha. Hajar, obviously, and Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam would be buried in Makkatul Mukarrama. But those are historical facts. And as I said the other day, لا نصدق ولا نكذب. We don't know. But Madinatul Munawwara, absolute certainty. And thereafter, there's many, many narrations that indicate to that particular masjid in Hebron as being the resting place of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. The other Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala knows best. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma.